having this seal. Now, while you're there, I want you to notice chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 9, and that will be Thursday night's prophecy lesson. Thursday night, perilous times. You have it? You ought to be able to mark your Bible and be ready for Thursday night. Nobody said amen, so I just assume that you're going to do that. The unshakable, the steady foundation of God. God's work. Can we trust it? God's work. Can we be assured when we're in it? God's work. Can we depend upon it to have a good future? God's work. Paul is writing here to Timothy. He's writing some of his last letters. His life will end soon on a chopping block. His head will literally be severed from his body, and Paul will go into the presence of the Lord. But before he goes into the presence of the Lord and escapes all of the calamity that happened in that first century, He is not depressed. He is not defeated. He goes to Timothy, writing him something that will stabilize a young man who must stay and who must preach and who must continue. So all of you who know anything about foundations understand that Paul was trying to give him something that would be there in his mind and in his heart, so that when he took that step of faith, not knowing what that step would lead him into, he could be assured that there was a God who had already put a foundation in place that was immovable. In 2014, facing the critical times that we're in, the crisis times that we're in, we need something that we can step out on when we don't know how it's going to turn out. So the foundation of God standeth sure. For there were false teachers in Paul's day. There were false prophets in Paul's day. There was adversaries. There was enemies of the cross. But he ensures this young Timothy, a pastor, an evangelist, that he would find comfort in these words. Nevertheless, no matter what you're facing, nevertheless, no matter what you're going through, nevertheless, no matter what your opposition is, the foundation of God standeth steady, having this seal. A seal, then, was something that God placed upon the foundation. And this is what is written on the foundation of God. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He not only knows your name, he knows your frame. He has tested it, and is very well a fact that God has promised never to put no more on you than what you can bear. But will, because he's faithful, but will with that temptation also make a way that you may be able to escape, or that you may be able to bear it. God knows the load limit for your frame. You will not be overloaded with cares. He will come to help you. He will not overload you with a heavy burden or a place in the church or a position in the church that he is not willing to give you all of the moral support that you need, all of the physical support you need, and all of the spiritual support that you need. For God has gave us his sure word. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Two things on that seal, because it's very important for you to understand. The foundation is strong simply because those that are there have two indispensable things that must be to guarantee the security of the believer. First, God is infallible, immutable, omnipotent, amen, omnipresent, and that he expects of us that we would keep these things that he has said. The Lord knoweth those that are his. Can you say amen to that? Can you say, the Lord knows me? The Lord knows me. He doesn't just know my mama, just doesn't know my daddy. He knows me. The Lord knows me. He knows when I get up. He knows when I lay down. He knows when I go out. He knows when I come in. The Lord knows me. He knows my thoughts afar off. The Lord knows me. He's brought me a mighty long way. Anybody say, the Lord has brought me a mighty long way? He knows you. He has guided your steps. He has offered you his help. Then the second one is, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, which means purity. Two things are indispensable to the church. First, it has to have the security. God knows those that are his. The second is purity. If you want security, you must provide God purity. If you will live a pure life, God will give you security, as Brother Gary has already testified of. He will be that wall around you. But more important than a wall, every wall's got to have a foundation. And God becomes that foundation. Jesus told of two men who went to work and built themselves a house. One man dug down until he found the foundation of the rock, and he built upon the rock. The other man thought that he could build a house equally secure on sand. And both of them stood, a beautiful edifice, a wonderful sight to behold, and people were marveled that they both had built such wonderful houses. And then the storm came. Then the roof didn't matter. And the walls didn't matter. And the floors didn't matter. Then the furniture didn't matter. And all of the effects in the house didn't matter. What was going to matter in the storm was foundation. Am I right? Amen. The security of that house demanded a foundation. The man was proved very foolish who built on the sand and assumed that you can trust sand as a foundation. Anyone that's been around sand will tell you that you put pressure on it, it can be washed away. It can be undercut. It can be rooted out. So when the currents, amen, became and the flood became apparent and the storms began to roll, here is the answer. Here is the answer. Great was the fall of the house. Now, which house fell? Was it the one on the rock or was it the one on the sand? You read and you'll find out that the man who built on the rock had a house after the storm was over because he depended on the rock to withhold and to uphold in the time of a storm. The foolish man assumed that it would be all right to build on the sand until the storm came. And the storm proved him to be a fool. Foolish men, the Lord knoweth those that are his. Let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. It's still holiness or hell. You want your house to be there when the storm's passed over? You had better be pure. And the only way to live pure in an unholy world is to have the help of God. So God offers us tonight these two inscriptions on this foundation. First, he knows you. And the second, he requires you to depart from iniquity. Two things. God knows you. And because he knows you and gave you the privilege of building on that foundation, he now asks you to get away from sin as far as you can and stay clean in an unclean world. Are you going to help me? Still holiness or hell? I can't help it, preacher. Yes, you can. The Bible says that you can cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh. Am I right?
Amen.
A good old hot bath will take care of dirt most of the time, especially the part that you put in the tub. You can run all kinds of bath water and look at it, but it won't get you clean. You have to commit to the tub. If you commit that dirty body to the tub, water and soap and a brush or whatever you want to use will usually do the job, and you can come out clean. So I'm telling you tonight that if you want to commit to holiness, it is the best thing that I ever seen to eradicate sin. And sin can be eradicated. You don't have to fight smoking all the days of your life. You can get sanctified and you will lose the desire for it. You don't have to fight liquor all the days of your life. You can get sanctified and God will take the desire of it from you. You don't have to gamble all the days of your life. God can take that habit from you. You don't have to be hooked on pornography all the days of your life. God can break that chain and set you free. You do not have to be immoral your days of your life. You can be cleaned up and become a good wife and a good husband, a good mother and a good father. You can clean your act up, sir, by getting on this foundation and separating yourself from sin. You don't have to say amen. It's truth anyway. Amen. So there's four things that I want to bring to your attention. As this foundation has four sides, can we trust it? First, I want to talk to you about the sovereignty of God. Second, I want to talk to you about the blood covenant. Third, I want to talk to you about the Holy Ghost. And fourth, I want to talk to you about the Word of God. Just four things. I'll try to hurry and take my seat and give you a place at this altar. But before I take my seat, I've got some things to say to you. So if you don't mind, quit your texting. Quit playing your games and give me your attention. Because I need to preach to you. You say you sound like an old intolerant person. I am old. I am a little bit intolerant and very impatient when it comes to the Word of God. So I need you to give me your attention. First, the sovereignty of God. Jesus Christ showed himself to John in a glorified body on the Isle of Patmos. And this is the word that Jesus said about himself on the Isle of Patmos to John the Apostle, which was banned there for the word of God in his testimony. He said these words, "I am the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come." Revelation 1 and 8. I am the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. It means simply that God compasses all time. You can't get to where God's not. Somebody said, "Where's God?" He was there before you got there. Where's God? He was there years before you got there. Where's God? He's been the same place he was ever since he was God. He doesn't need to go anywhere because God is everywhere. Mind-boggling? We want God to come. God don't come nowhere. God is everywhere. I got to come to church. God don't come to church. God is in the church 24 hours a day. There's no place he's not. He's with you. every waking second of every minute of every hour of every day. God is with you. You say, I don't feel him. You don't have to feel him. You can believe him. He's there. Now, the foundation of God is not upheld by anyone other than God. God's sovereignty is that he compasses all time. If you retreat into the past, he's there. He said, I which is, which was, and which is to come. He said, now if you go in the past, I'm him. I am him which was. If you go into the future, you'll find him there. He is. He is the one that is to come. And if you stand here tonight at 3201 Dryden Road, guess what? He's here. For he is. So I present to you, church, tonight a living Savior that is willing to stand by you and let you stand on him. God declares the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear the pillars of it. That's in Psalm 75 and 3. He said, I bear it. I bear it. Amen. If the inhabitants are dissolved and the earth and all of it, I will still be bearing it. Some of the buildings that we know are constructed. This church here, in the 36 years that I've been here, I've never seen the foundation. Never had no reason to dig down to look at the foundation. The foundation has stood sure. But it's there. How many of you as members of the church have ever seen the foundation of this church? The only ones that seen it were the ones that were building it. When they dug down this and put it down, they poured it, and then put this building up on it, and we've looked at the building ever since, but none of us go around saying, my, that's a beautiful foundation. All we care about is it being sure. And for the years that it has been here, it has proved it is a sure foundation. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we're looking at something that we know. It's a sure foundation. The Lord has upheld the work. We're looking at a world today that's in turmoil. We're looking at a world today that's sinful. We're looking at a society that's godless. We're looking at a time when men love pleasure more than the lover of God. But God still upholds it because it's God's. A pillar to support a building, so he bears the world for his own name's sake. And he will keep it for the well-being of his children. Right. Not only is he keeping this world because of the church, he's keeping this world because of Israel. And he will not let this world be destroyed by some maniac. Right. Somebody said, well, what about all those guys that can push that button and destroy us all? I want to tell you the secret of the book is it won't happen. Right. No, Russia's not going to push the bomb, and neither is China going to push the bomb, and neither is Europe going to push the bomb, and neither will America push the bomb. For God said, I will burn this place. Right. And brother, I tell you what, it has proved true. And we now know that it's true, that God has the ability to do it. But God, for our sake and the sake of our children and for the sake of the church and for the sake of Israel, is going to keep this world until he makes it a new world. So the sovereignty of God means that he can't be overruled. God has said, I'll bear it up, and he will. It is kept by the power of God. I wish you'd help me preach. You see, we need something stable in this crazy world. I'm here tonight to preach you some stable preaching. God still upholds his creation and keeps it. Though men is rebellious on his planet, yet the Lord said, all the cattle, all the gold, all the silver, all of it's mine. I made it. He kept it. Amen. We need to trust the sovereignty of God. You cannot overrule the sovereignty of God. If God decrees it, the devil can't break it. If God decrees it, Congress can't break it. If God decrees it, it will happen. Oh, somebody shout amen. Anyone ever heard about the end of the First World War? Anybody know anything about the end of the First World War? You ought to read it. It's amazing. There's a bunch of 11s that are involved. 11th hour, 11th month, 11th day. Just to show God can do it. He stopped it. You know what broke forth out of that? God's sovereignty, because he promised that he would gather Israel back again. Now the devil has tried to kill every Jew he can get his hand on. How many know that? How many did Hitler kill? 6 million? Annihilated them. You know, they were kicked out of almost every country in Europe, banded, drove out. But yet God said, no matter where you're at, I'm going to bring you home. And did he do it? You've seen that in your day. How can you explain it other than the sovereignty of God? That God gave his word, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it in the last days. And here we stand in the last days. And what do we have to eat morning, noon, and night on the news? Israel, 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 Israel. It's almost like God saying, pay attention, pay attention. I said I would do it, and here they are. And you're not going to get rid of them. Sovereignty of God. God says that he'll do it. Sovereignty of God said one day the moon will turn to blood. Sun will go dark. The heavens will shake. Then you turn back to God's word and he said, in the last days I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. And only that which cannot be shaken will remain. So the heavens are being shaken. They once thought impregnable. But now man lives up there. Man sleeps up there. Man walks up there. Man has walked on the moon. They have shot their rockets and placed their little gadgets on Mars. Am I right? And all of a sudden the heavens are shaken. But the sovereignty of God said, though you make your nest in the stars, I will bring you down. So God was saying, man, you'll get up there one day. But you're coming down from there. You can't shake this foundation. To the unbeliever, it can be shaken. But to the believer, thank God it's sure. Amen. Look at the covenant, at the blood covenant. Jesus at the Last Supper spoke of the blood of the new covenant in his own blood. Matthew 26 and 28. When God makes a covenant, he keeps it. Our salvation is sure tonight and assured us because God entered into a covenant with us. I wish I'd get you to believe that. With every believer, not just the preacher, but every child of God, every one of us, God has sealed it with the blood of his own son. No evil power, no devil. As they were singing in the choir, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Because the blood sealed the covenant, this new covenant between God and us. Oh, it should help me. Most important day in the Old Testament was that day of atonement. When the high priest took the blood and went in behind the veil of the holies of holies and sprinkled the mercy seat and got forgiveness for Israel. They took a scapegoat and put the blood on it and placed the sins of Israel on it, led it out as far as it could, and drove it away from them. And Israel could see the goat going over the hill and know that's where our sins are going, out of sight, not to be remembered no more. But we have a better one than that. On the cross, Jesus died and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then that time when he said, Father, forgive them, he also said, it is finished. And the covenant was made and the blood was applied. And God bound himself to every child of God to put you on a foundation that cannot be shaken. Oh, glory to God. When the tabernacle was moved, it was the responsibility of some Levites to carry it. The foundation of the tabernacle was gold or silver plates. Silver stood for redemption. The blood, the sacrifices, the same foundation went with it. When they tore the tabernacle down, they picked up the foundation and they carried it with them. When they put it down, they put the foundation down first and set the tabernacle on it. So the redemption was always first in God's mind. When I redeem you, I am going to stand by you because I'm making a covenant with you and the blood is sealing it. I gave my son for you. I gave him to the whippers that I might heal you. I gave him to the cross that I might forgive you. I gave my son up that I might freely give you all things. The blood covenant opens a door that you can come in whenever you want into the presence of God, that you can find grace. The rod of God is outstretched to every child. He never turns you away, but he's glad to see you. Amen. Because the blood of the covenant that he made with Jesus Christ and he made with the bride of Christ stands sure this day. Always entrance to God. Always the power of God available. Always the wisdom of God available. Everything that God has is yea and amen. Everything the Father has is willing to be given to you freely. The foundation of God stands sure. That's not shaky. Somebody said, well, man, Brother Benny, I didn't get healed. Well, it may not have been time for you to get healed, but God will heal you. Amen. It's in the covenant. But I didn't get an answer. You will. It's in the covenant. Right there. It cannot. The finished work of Calvary stands every test. You can't get God to say, I need to do something else. Everything that was needed to be done for you was finished at Calvary. Oh, glory be to God. Finished at Calvary. I don't have to worry about healing. It was done at Calvary. Don't have to worry about my sins. They were gone at Calvary. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. It was settled at Calvary. If I'm in Christ, I'm as safe as I can be. I am secure. I am secure. David sinned by numbering Israel, and he was looking for a place to make peace with God. And he came upon a place. And when he found the right place, he dealt with Ornan to try to buy it from him. And he offered to give it to him without charge. But David said, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. It's what Jesus said. The devil offered him the world free. All you got to do is worship me. Jesus said, no, I'll buy it for the full price. The devil offered him the ways to make shortcuts. He said, no, I'll take it the way it's got to be, clear to the cross, clear to my death. I will pay the price. Do you understand what I'm preaching to you tonight? We have an unshakable foundation because Jesus didn't take no shortcuts. He paid for it the full price. For him to redeem you means his life. And he freely gave his life for us all. John said it in John 1. Amen. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, he said, he loved us and gave himself for us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign. That's a finished work. It's done. It's complete. Unshakable covenant. If I don't sin, the devil can't destroy me. You say you're boasting. No, I'm not boasting. I'm just standing. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing steady on the rock. As a little fellow got washed and in a flood and finally got himself upon a rock and they rescued him later, they asked him how he'd done. He said, I was shaken all over, but the rock didn't shake. That's the way it's been for me a lot of times. I've shook all over, but my foundation didn't shake. I've wondered how I could do it, how I would make it, but my foundation kept my me in my right mind. There have been a few times when I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't take this, Lord. I can't go this way. But my foundation stood sure. And soon as the storm was over, the foundation was just as steady as it was before the storm started. I just need to stay on the rock. You gonna help me preach? I'm about ready to go to my seat. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is the key. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is founded upon the covenant, sealed by the blood of his own sacrifice. The Lord will never break that covenant. You will, he won't. Amen. You might, he won't. That's the reason why, what was it, Sister Floaty, Sister Jean? How, 5 years old, wasn't it? 5 years old, filled with the Holy Ghost. 5 years old and filled with the Holy Ghost and stayed that way till she was almost 90 or was 90. And you tell me you can't trust that foundation? Did she go through shipwreck? Did she go through storms? Did she go through sickness? Yes, she did. But at the end, she was still sweet with the Holy Ghost. When she died, she was sweet with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, you don't have to be an adult to get your foot on the rock. You don't have to be old, amen, to be secure. You can give your whole life to Jesus, and you may have heartache, heartbreak. You may go up and down. You may be washed almost off, but if you just got one foot on the rock, God will keep you during any storm you go through. Amen. Then the blessed help of the Holy Ghost. How many can say hallelujah for the Holy Ghost? Some of you don't even realize what you've got. I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter that he may abide with you. What's the rest of it? Preach with me. What's that word? Forever. Now that means I'm not going to stay forever in this body. But he promised that the Holy Ghost was going to stay with me forever. So that means the same Holy Ghost that I feel now, when I cross over and kiss death and amen, and they lay me out, don't weep for me, because I'm having a Holy Ghost jubilee on the other side. He ain't never going to leave me. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Somebody said, aren't you afraid to die? It's just the fact that I don't know what dying is. I've always lived. I don't know what dying is. I've watched a lot of people die. I've been there when they've died. But I can't say that I've ever died. But when it comes time for me to die, I've got a comforter that's going to go all the way through for me. How many's ever heard anybody talk in tongues as they stepped over? They walked over speaking in tongues. Pardon me, devil, step aside. I've got a guide. I've got a comforter. I've got a friend. He's going to go with me. And death's chilly waters will part. Amen. And I will be comforted forever. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Right there. When Israel came out of Egypt, they had but one guide, a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Can I get an amen? You know what got them through? They didn't have a compass. They didn't have a GPS. Moses had never been to the promised land. He'd never been no further than Midian. 40 years, Midian, being a shepherd. Now all of a sudden he went back to Egypt. That's as far as Moses knew. Egypt and Midian. But now, God said, I want you to take these people to the promised land. No compass, no map, no GPS. What does God do? Drops it down. Right there. Here it comes. Whoop! Right there. The cloud by day and fire by night. He said, all you have to do to get there is follow it. Follow it. Amen. Amen. Yeah, an insecure Israelite flips the canvas of his tent open at night and looks out, there it is. Presence of God. Guide of God. Provider God. There it is, the water bringer out of the rock. There it is, the quail provider. There it is, the manna supplier. Right there. Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. For 40 years it was day and night. Present, 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 without failing. Just to give us a type and a shadow that one day the Holy Ghost would come and the God of heaven would say, for everyone who is led by the Spirit of God, they are my children. Amen. The world won't follow it because the Holy Ghost won't take you to a ball game. The world won't follow it because the Holy Ghost won't take you to a movie house. The world won't follow it because it won't take you to a bar. To a strip club. But it will take you to church. And we'll meet you at church. We'll keep you. Oh, will somebody help me preach? Through the night of our earthly journey, I've had the pleasure of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit's illumination. I have had him talk to me. We walk in darkness. When we follow our own path. But he said his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our feet. Do you realize what I'm telling you? The Holy Ghost keeps the line of communication open 24 hours a day from you to God. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Oh, hallelujah. What's the Holy Ghost do? The initial baptism, the evidence of the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost is still speaking in tongues. What does he say? I'm hooking you up. Sister Millie is an operator. You call and you talk to Sister Millie, she'll hook you up. You tell her who you want to talk to, she'll hook you up. Well, I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is an operator just like that. You get down and say, oh, he hooks you up to the healer. You get down and say, ah, he hooks you up to the comforter. Amen. He just knows who to hook you up to, and he hooks you up 24 hours a day. Ever wake up talking in tongues? Just out of your sleep. All of a sudden, there you are, and you're in another world. You're talking to God. You just got your mind. Your eyes come up, and you just registered. I'm talking in tongues, and God's listening to me, and God has time to listen to me, and God doesn't have nobody else he's listening to. He's listening to me. I've got the ear of God. I've got the mind of God. I've got the heart of God. Thank God for the Comforter. He has not left us comfortless. I can't only get used to preaching to people who don't react to truth. It's such a hard thing. I'm used to preaching to people who don't react to truth. I think sometimes.
Shame on us.
Is there a songbook? Hand me that songbook over here. Sometimes I think if I couldn't do nothing else, I'd reach out and do the songbook and I'd throw it up there. Say, whoopee! Whoopee! All right, just take one piece. I get a hot dog, that's me. He preached about. I was once a sinner.
Come on, brother.
I was once so long. Yeah. And now I'm saved and sanctified. Got God's good Holy Ghost on my way to heaven. I go, whoo! Hot dog, I'm a long ways from what I used to be. I may not be there, but I've got a comforter, and I've got a guide, and I've got a teacher. I've got a provider. I've got somebody who's not going to take me out of school. He's going to keep me in school, that when I graduate, I go to a better world. I go home to be with God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist declared, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's Psalms 119 and 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word stands firm. It cannot fail because God's character cannot fail. The word is God. While the heavens declare the glory of God, the word proclaims his will. The will of God is steadfast and unchanging. King Josiah left us a wonderful thing. When he found in that project of repair, they found the law. The king rent his clothes. When the scribes read from this newly found book, for it turned the spotlight on Israel's sinfulness. Discovering the law, commands, and precepts brought repentance and spiritual revival to the nation. God's word may be burned, buried, ignored, or rejected. But in some way or another, it will be preserved. Somebody is going to get shouting happy when they read the Bible. Did you ever read it and get happy? Oh, yeah. In due time, it will manifest its authority and power over you. We are admonished. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. In Hebrew words translated, remember just means to be marked so as to be reconciled or recognized. Amen. We used to live in a big woods. The farm that we was raised on had a big woods in it. And then we could join another woods after it. We were pretty well acquainted with the first woods because we cut wood there for winter every year. So we got to where we knew that woods. But every once in a while, we'd cross the fence and go squirrel hunting on this other guy. We didn't know his woods. So sometimes in squirrel hunting, we would cheat and we'd break a limb. Just break it and hang it right on the bush so that when we come back by, we know we passed this way. We'd go a little further and we'd break another limb and we would mark our progress. That's just all the Word of God said. I remember when the Bible said that I could be born again, I got born again, I broke the twig. I made it this far. I remember when reading in the Bible about sanctification, I started seeking God for sanctification. And when I realized what sanctification was, I said, Lord, I can't live without this. I'll backslide unless you do this for me. And one night he rolled me under the pew and rolled me out from under the pew. And they spit in my face. They patted me on the back. And I didn't throw a Sutherland tantrum. And I knew something happened in my life. I got sanctified. I broke another twig. I made it this far. And then I read in the Bible where I've got to have the Holy Ghost. And I went after it. I pursued it. My heart broke. I was disappointed. Everything seemed to be going wrong. I wasn't making any headway. I'm brokenhearted as a young little preacher. I went in the kitchen of another preacher, and he came in, and right after him came the Holy Ghost. I went in there, and I was leaning up against the saint, just crying, so discouraged and broken because I couldn't get the Holy Ghost. And then he came right behind me, and he said, what's wrong? And he said, what's wrong? And then the Holy Ghost said, through him, he spoke in tongues, and then turned and looked at me and pointed his face, and I put my spirit in you, why down? I broke another twig and said, he ain't forgotten me. And I went on to receive the Holy Ghost, went on to receive the call of God to preach, and finally ended up in 2014 at Dryden Road, 3201, preaching the gospel. I broke twigs. I broke twigs and I've marked the way. But I've never had to go back. Oh, hallelujah. I've never had to go back and break this trip again. My baptism was sure. Amen. My salvation was sure. Everything, the foundation stood sure. I've never had to go back and repent and get rebaptized in water. The experience is sure. I've kept my foot on the rock and the rock has kept me. I kept my foot on the foundation, and the foundation has never moved under my feet. I want to tell you, man, it doesn't matter how bad the storm gets, the foundation of God standeth sure. God doesn't never have to change his mind about his word. He meant it, it's forever settled in heaven. He's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't say one thing when he means another. He doesn't promise his word unless he performs it. If he said, I will heal you, you'll be healed. If God says, I'll help you, you'll be helped. Come on, somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
You may not always be understood, but we can count on him when the ship's breaking up in the storm. Paul did. After long absence, he made an appearance on board up among those men and said, "Be of good cheer. I just got a message from God. And God said, everybody on this ship's going to be saved. Amen. Whom I stand before and whom I serve, who's God? Amen. In the middle of a storm and a hopelessness, God can find you if you stay on the rock. A solid foundation. We're God's children. Our human nature can be disturbed, but our spiritual foundation will stand. You may think sometimes depression comes, but just remember the foundation of God stands sure. There are four sides and they're all indestructible. God in his sovereignty. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The covenant that he made with you. His work of the Holy Ghost in our life. And his infallible word. You don't have to go down. You can go through. You can make it all the way.
Amen.
You don't have to backslide.
Right.
Get down on your knees on that rock.
Right.
You don't have to stand up tall. Hug it.
Right. God.
When the storm's over, stand back up.
Amen.
Until the devil made it again.
Amen.
But it's not what I do. It's what he's done. God gave me his word. And Jesus recognized it when he said simply this: they are in my Father's hand, and nobody can pluck them out. Nobody.
Amen.
Paul said it in a different way. He said, things present, things to come, angels, devils, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Tonight, we have Sister Brenda. I preach for her. And I tell you, things may get shaky. Keep your feet on the rock. Make sure you're on the foundation. Check it out. Make sure you're on there and then stand. And when you've done all you can do, stand. God expects you to do no more.
That's right.
And God will come and fight your battles. God will come and break the waves.
Amen.
He will be all about you. He will be your help, ever-present help in the time of trouble. He will fluff your pillow. Amen. When your hour comes for you to die, he'll cradle you in his own arms. He'll kiss you asleep. And when you wake up, you'll be looking in his blessed face. And I tell you, my friend, this trip is still worth it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm done. I'm fixing to take my seat. They're going to come give us a song. We're going to open these altars. Well, maybe I need to preach another sermon here. Well, I got another one. You want me to preach to you another one? I got one here. Hear that, or you better stand. Keep sitting, I'm going to preach. Woo, first one up, Sister Janie. Time for me to take my seat. Altar's open.